New year, new look. Make 2022 the year your kitchen gets tunified. From a quick refresh to a full remodel, Kitchen Tune-Up offers five services to meet your goals and budget. Visit kitchentuneup.com or call 810-488-9778 now to request a free in-home estimate. Let Kitchen Tune-Up help you love your kitchen again.
1380 WPHM, final hour of the morning show. Caleb Gordon in for Paul Miller today. Putting the year 2021 in review and getting some perspectives on some of the biggest stories, biggest issues of the past year. We've been talking about it from the local, state, and national levels. Right now, we're going to put the past year in perspective from the automotive point of view. Executive Director of Mish Auto, Glenn Stevens, who's also a VP with the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce, joining us. And wow, 2021, what a year it was for the automotive industry.
It sure was. It was one like we have not seen, both challenging and exciting.
Now, tell us about Mish Auto. What is your role with that organization, and what do you guys do exactly?
Certainly. So Mish Auto is the statewide auto and mobility industry association. So we are representing and being a voice for the entire auto stakeholder community. And when I say entire, I mean that we're very inclusive with regards to who we work with. We work with the OEMs and the suppliers, but also economic development, universities, community colleges across the entire state. And our goal is to promote and retain and grow the industry as we know it and as the industry evolves. So we're working with Lansing, we're working with our federal delegations, and we're working with our talent pipeline. And our goal is to build the industry here for the future.
2021, as far as the auto industry goes, Glenn, like we're talking about, a very strange year indeed. I think the main story that seems to come to mind are these supply chain issues that have affected, namely the microchips that has halted assembly at several plants, not just here in Michigan, but nationwide.
Yeah, the industry is, as you know, Caleb, is extremely resilient, and it's also extremely complex. And, you know, with the thousands of components that it takes to make a vehicle, it doesn't take much to disrupt it. And we've had a lot of disruptions the last couple of years, but primarily caused by the semiconductor issue. Yeah, we're still in the middle of it. It's resolving itself. It's a big, big issue, but it has severely hampered production and really the market like we hadn't anticipated. But there have been other issues, too. Most recently, a shortage of magnesium, which goes into a lot of automotive components, too. So been a challenging year with that regards.
We could do a whole show on this, Glenn, but what is the reasoning behind some of these shortages of, you know, key materials used for production of automobiles? Why are we seeing such a issue, especially this year?
Well, as you know, it's always a supply and demand issue, but what we've got here is because of the rise of the utilization of chips, semiconductors, and so many different components in consumer products, from everything from an Xbox console to your vehicle, those chips are in high demand. And with the pandemic, we saw an even higher demand for consumer products, laptops, even refrigerators have semiconductors, you name it. So when you look at the whole supply and demand on a global basis, it got completely out of whack and has really had a hard time getting back into balance. And so that's caused the problems that we're experiencing.
You know, another issue that automakers and the industry, suppliers as a whole, have had to deal with, I assume the big three are dealing with it. I know the suppliers are not being able to fill some key positions.
Yes, and that's been an issue that's been going on for some time. I like to remind people that unemployment in Michigan was sub 5 pre-pandemic. So we already had a tight labor market. You know, I work very closely with people like Dan Casey and the St. Clair Economic Development Organization. You've got a tremendous amount of manufacturing and automotive in the Blue Water region, and it is a tight labor pool there too. So as the pandemic progressed, it just made everything a little bit more worse from a supply and demand of labor standpoint too. And there's no one reason for it. There's multiple reasons why we have tight labor, but you know, Michigan has not been a state that's growing from a population standpoint. you throw a pandemic on top of it, you throw all these different factors, and it really makes for another perfect storm with regards to labor.
Another big auto story this year, Glenn, here in Michigan, and I want to get your thoughts on this. This really hits home for what you do at the Detroit Regional Chamber and with Mich Auto. I'm sure you were probably surprised, as many were, when Ford made the announcement that they're going to invest however many billion dollars into that Kentucky and Tennessee facility to make EVs, or specifically batteries for electric vehicles. Was this a missed opportunity by Michigan not to land that big investment by Ford?
Well, I think it's a missed opportunity, a real hard pill to swallow when you don't have the things lined up that you need to be able to compete. And that's what happened. We did not have the combination of land, utilities, talent, and economic development incentives to be able to land a place, a facility like Blue Oval City. I actually have been to that site north of Memphis about 10 years ago. The state of Tennessee has been investing in that site for over 10 years, and they put over $200 million of investment in the infrastructure of that site. It's a massive site because this is a massive plant. It's not just a battery plant. It is a full raw materials, components, batteries, assembly, and recycling. So it's a full life cycle city. And so being able to compete for that, we weren't able to check the boxes. But to what it did do, sometimes unfortunately, but sometimes fortunately, is it was a very serious wake-up call. And what we saw was an incredible collaboration between the administration, the governor's office, the MEDC, the business community, and the legislature to come together to put in place some packages and some incentives and some site development that will be enabling us to compete for things which may be on the horizon. So, not a great story up front, but really a good story going into the new year with regards to collaboration that's come about because of it.
Yeah, some $1 billion or so made its way through the state legislature in record speed just a week or two ago, and that signed into law by Governor Whitmer. What is your selling point to the average Michigander who questions, why do we have to give these large corporations so much of our money to just be in the running for one of these big plants?
Well, I think it starts with the fact that, you know, the advanced industry and manufacturing base here is so important to the economy in Michigan. Whether it's, you know, out in your area in Marysville or in Port Huron, you know, or across the entire state, it's really important that we're able to attract and retain those types of jobs. So these investment incentives and these investments in our toolkit are really important for us to be able to keep that advanced manufacturing base. But I also want to, you know, make it clear that, you know, these packages are not just for manufacturing and or assembly or battery manufacturing jobs. These could be for R&D centers or tech centers or new corporate headquarters. So while I respect the opinion of folks that, you know, really are against these types of things, the bottom line is you have to be able to have them in or some form of them in your toolkit to be able to compete. Now, that is not a long-term strategy for growth. You know, we really believe that the long-term strategy for growth is an investment in our talent and an investment in our communities so we can attract businesses to those communities and attract talent to live, work, and play, particularly in the tech sector and with people needing more and more digital skills. So it's really a combination of making sure you have the short-term goals and objectives in front of you, but also having a long game too.
Some of these incentive packages, like we're just talking about, used for electric vehicles, whether it's batteries or assembly or that sort of thing. Glenn, what is the future of the auto industry, specifically here in Michigan, but nationwide? We're seeing more and more targets to increase the number of EVs on the roads. What does this mean for the way that we currently have our economy structured here in Michigan, and can we expect only more of these electric vehicle plants and that sort of thing in the coming years?
Well, we can expect more. That's exactly what we're going to see. The industry is, we always think that we've gone through these tremendous upheavals in the past, but I don't think there's anything like what we're seeing right now. And it's not going to turn back, and it's not going to slow down. Now, the pace is debatable, how fast the electric vehicles will be adopted, because there's a lot of things that go with the adoption of electrical vehicles, all the way from the grid to consumer adoption and everything in between. But Michigan has 12 assembly plants, and those assembly plants are either going to make electric vehicles, meaning they'll be converted to electric vehicles, or they will go out of business. And they'll be replaced by something else. So we need to do everything possible to make sure we protect the supply chain around them. But it does have impact for Michigan's economy, because most of the industry as we know it is built around the internal combustion engine, all the way from testing and engineering all the way to making those vehicles. So as the industry changes with the vehicle, there'll be implications for supply chain and talent. But we'll be fine as long as we move with it and try to stay in front of it. But companies are going to have to make decisions about when and how they invest in these changes, too, as our regions, as our cities, and as our state is.
Glenn Stevens, one final question here. I guess it's a two-parter. What's your top story from 2021? What would you say was the most important thing over the past year as far as Michigan's automotive economy is concerned? And then looking ahead, what are you most hopeful for going into 2022?
Well, and you had great questions today, Caleb. Thanks for those. Really thought-provoking. I appreciate your time. I think, you know, as we look at 2021, you know, I think what the most important thing that we were involved with is what can we do to help companies? What issues can we help them mitigate? What do they need as they, you know, as they go through, they work through things like most recently, for example, the vaccine mandate from the Biden administration. But we've gone through a tremendous amount of transition here in the industry. And really what it was for us and for me personally was, what was the issue of the day that helped companies continue to mitigate this, the supply chain issues, the talent issues, and all the while keeping an eye on the future. Now, as we look at the future, we have a lot of optimism. There's a lot of things that that we have to build on here. There's no question that the electrification is going to be one of the most transformative things. But the other thing that's happening is the vehicle becomes more and more connected. It means the vehicle becomes more and more high tech, which means it has more and more software in it. So our biggest focus as we look at enabling the success of electrification in the connected vehicle is, are we going to have the right talent to drive that growth here? So that's our big focus moving forward, is making sure that Michigan has communities and the talent that wants to live and work and play in them to enable the growth of this industry moving forward.
And that's a positive note to wrap up this segment, Glenn. We're speaking with Glenn Stevens, Executive Director of Mich Auto and VP of Auto and Mobility Initiatives at the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce here on the 1380 WPHM Morning Show. But stick around, Glenn. We're going to shift gears, so to speak. Talk about a book that you have out called Michigan Street. More on that coming up next, after this break and the news here on 1380 WPHM.